If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tastesofchicago.com to order today.
There's a book. You'll shoot your eye out. Life Lessons from the movie A Christmas Story by Quentin Schultz, who's in our studio today. Welcome to WGN.
John, it's a pleasure. I used to be on occasionally on Milt Rosenberg's Extension 720 when I would have books coming out. It was great.
Were you one of the book reviewers?
No, about my books.
Oh, no
kidding.
He would
have me on as a guest, yeah, to talk about my books, yeah.
Well, that could be the rest of our conversation.
Ah.
Milt Rosenberg was one of the great hosts, one of the great intellects, one of the great book readers and reviewers in America, and if he tapped you on the shoulder, you did something right. What was the book that you guys were talking about, or some of them?
Some of them, yes. What in the world were they on? I don't know. I've written so many books, and I don't know which ones I talk with him about.
Your latest is You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, Life Lessons from a Christmas Story. Okay, how did you come to this?
Yeah, I came to this because I was a new communication professor at Calvin University in Grand Rapids, Michigan in the early 80s, and I wanted to learn storytelling really well. Anybody who seriously studies communication learns that storytelling is the most potent form of human expression. And I said, who's the great one out there? And the best I could find was this guy named Gene, J-E-A-N, Shepherd, who had a radio show. He had done some films for PBS.
W-O-R, right?
W-O-R, correct. And when I asked around, people who were in audio production and all say, who out there really does it well? And they said, Gene Shepherd. So I contacted him, and I said, hey, I'd like to learn storytelling from you. And I think he was a bit astonished because he didn't get much recognition from academic types. But in fact, he was very skeptical of academic types. And he said, yeah, so we got together, started corresponding and talking and teaching together at Calvin. And I learned storytelling.
He was in New York, wasn't he?
He was in New York. Well, yeah, he was in New York. But then he basically retired from radio and started doing other things.
You were teaching with him in person then in Michigan?
Oh, yeah.
This was before Zoom, obviously, so he would be there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you and he would co-teach a class?
Well, co-teaching with Gene is an interesting thing. One thing I've learned is that anybody who's very artistically gifted is not very organized in terms of the practical stuff of life. Now, that's a stereotype, but boy, oh boy, he could not run a course himself. And so I was the organization and the learner helping him teach storytelling, and we used entirely his stories that were printed from audio clips from his WOR show, from PBS movies that came out before A Christmas Story. And then Christmas Story came out in 1983. It didn't do real well at the box office. And he was a little disappointed about that. But I thought, hey, let's keep this going. So I kept learning from him. And eventually the movie started to take off once the VCR came out. That's what did it for A Christmas Story, PG rated. And there were not a lot of films back then. There was no PG-13 in 83 when it came out. But here's the secret, John, about Gene Shepherd and, in fact, the whole movie and why I wrote the book. Gene Shepherd didn't just tell stories. He told parables. All of his stories worked on two levels. There was the level of entertainment. You would really enjoy it. Wasn't that fun? Oh, look at that leg lamp. Isn't that a funny deal? And the old man falls in love with that leg lamp. But then there's an underlying story which has to do with much more.
Did he do that on purpose?
Absolutely on purpose.
You're not just extracting messages or morals from the story. He infused them in.
Yeah. Yeah, he opened up to me in a way he didn't like to open up to people because he felt it might demystify. So one day we're talking about the leg lamp, and it was in other stories before the movie too, and I said, Gene, what's the deal with the leg lamp? He said, well, it's very simple, Quinn. It's my nickname, Quinn. He said, It's a trophy wife. I said, a trophy wife? He said, yeah. Look at how we've done it in the movie, too. The old man falls in love with this thing. He becomes obsessed with it. So one of the life lessons in my book that Gene was really big on is that we all have to curtail our obsessions, or others will have to curtail them for us. And Mom knows when she sees what happens with the old man, he's all excited and he wants to put that leg lamp in the window to turn on the neighborhood. She knows right away she's going to have to eliminate that leg lamp.
She feel that he's cheating on her or
yes.
That this is his new girlfriend?
That's right. We're talking about a parable here. So
I never thought about it in those terms, but his action is similar to that of a guy going through that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a trophy wife. And
Trophy wife is different in my mind than a girlfriend on the side.
Yes, okay.
But keep going.
Well, here it's a trophy. It's a major award, you know? And so he goes and puts it in the window, and then he goes outside. And as Gene said to me, he then becomes an art curator who was trained at the Art Institute here in Chicago. And he is instructing Mom on exactly where to place that thing. See, this is all kind of silly. And Ralphie, meanwhile, is pawing that leg because he's starting to move into puberty, and he's starting to have certain obsessions too. So Gene believed that men are incurably romantic and irrational, and they go after certain things and become obsessed with them. Could be a woman, but it could be a substitute for a woman, like the leg lamp or the rifle or whatever happens in life.
Okay, I never thought of the movie that way. Now I got to go watch it again and see if, in fact, you and I aren't giving the movie more credit than it's due. But I see how this works. And he did this intentionally.
Oh, yeah.
He was working on two levels. Okay, and that's just one prop in the movie. You've got a whole book of life lessons learned from A Christmas Story. You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, Life Lessons from the Movie by Quentin Schultz. By the way, Gene Shepherd, I noticed you spelled it J-E-A-N, because maybe somebody seeing that for the first time would not know if that was a male or female, but it was a guy. You told me off the air a funny story about his name, which was...
Yeah, which was, he became friends with Shel Silverstein, who wrote a lot of children's books, especially known for that. And they lived for a while at the Playboy Mansion here in Chicago. Because Shelley wanted to teach Gene how to convert his orally told stories into written form. And he said, I can get you in at Playboy because I write for them. I know Hugh. And so they lived at the Playboy Mansion while Shelley was teaching Gene how to convert the stories over to writing. And Gene was a very bright guy and picked it up quickly.
So Gene's an oral storyteller, but he hasn't put a pen to paper.
Yeah, he hasn't worked that out. And Shel was good at that. The two of them together were great collaborators on it. But Gene was always complaining to Shelley about his name. He said, you know, my old man, what was wrong with that guy? He gave me the name Gene with a J. You know, Gene really hated that. And so Shelley got fed up with it and said, okay, I'm going to write a song about it. And that song became A Boy Named Sue.
Quentin Schultz is in our studio telling stories from that classic Christmas movie. I'm glad that you reminded us that it didn't do great at the box office. VCRs gave it a second life. And now I think it's among America's most loved Christmas movies.
It is among the most loved movies, period. It's right up near the top. 40 to 50 million viewers a year. It still sells a lot of DVDs. It's stunning.
And maybe it resonates because of the things you're talking about. It's not just a fun, funny, cheerful Christmas story with a crazy leg lamp. It's telling us how to behave. It's teaching us lessons. And maybe we feel it or absorb it without even realizing.
Oh, yeah. That's what Gene wanted. He said, it's got to work on the entertainment level. But I also want behind the scenes to get these more important messages out there.
Okay, so now play the movie back in your head, and you're thinking about all the scenes, the restaurant scene, the furnace that he was always fighting. Give me another lesson that he sort of, as an Easter egg,
yeah,
put in there.
Yeah, let's take the furnace, because it's just so wonderful. All right, the old man is sitting there at the kitchen table, right? And, yeah, stop, everybody. Listen.
Clang, clang, clang.
Clink, 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 clink. It's a clinker! And he heads to the stairs to run down the stairs. And Gene said to me one time, you know, Quinn, what's going on there is that he is running down the stairs to the seventh level of Dante's Inferno. And he is going to face that furnace face to face. And he's going to lose the battle because we can never, as human beings, control technology. So in my book, I title that chapter, Tackle Your Technology, because Gene said to me, we will never control it. It's always going to get out of control. We have to tackle it, hold it down. And so that's what happens. The clinkers will come back and back. The olds will continue freezing. That sucker will freeze up at the equator in the middle of the summer. It's so bad. And he's plugging in plugs here and there and blowing fuses. I mean, his whole life is battling these technologies that are never perfect, and we all know that's true.
And Gene Shepherd, the author, told you that's why I did that. That's what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah.
The dad is cursing up a blue storm, but we don't have any bad language in that scene, do we?
Yeah, so they had PG or PG or R-rated. There was no PG-13. And in particular, they needed to figure out how to do this bad language because the old man is actually an artist. He was trained at the Art Institute how to use profanity and obscenity. You see? This is how Gene would talk about it. And so when he goes down the stairs to fix that furnace, he's letting it loose. And in fact, with Darren McGavin, who plays the old man, it was not scripted. When Ralphie goes out and beats up Scut, S-C-U-T, Farkas, that had to be scripted for Peter Billingsley playing that role. But this was, in Gene's view, profanity, obscenity tended to be an art form in certain, let's say, working class Midwest places.
You know, one message that I think is more apparent, and I've always felt it, is that when I watch the show, I appreciate how this family is struggling. They don't have money for a new furnace and a brand new car, and a leg lamp is a big deal to them. But they seem happy, too. They seem to be rich in spirit, if comical, if manic, if frustrated that the furnace isn't working. But, you know, I think a lot of us have a lot more creature comforts than they did. But by golly, they had a Christmas. They gave gifts. And I don't know if I'm expressing that feeling correctly, but it was a really nice family that didn't have a lot of money, a working class family. And Christmas was there. And I think sometimes we get too caught up in the commercialization or the riches of the holiday. And these people didn't have a lot of riches, did they?
No, they didn't. One of the life lessons in the book is be flexible. Gene said to me, being in the entertainment business, you learn to be flexible because you don't know where your next work is going to come from. And life becomes that way, too. You have to be flexible. So when the Bumpus Hounds come and steal the turkey, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And the old man is standing there holding a wing. And you wonder, is he going to eat it or what's going to happen here? And he drops it and he says, all right, everybody, go upstairs. We're going out to eat.
Yeah. He was indefatigable. He was relentless. He was not going to be beat by the circumstances. There was a little Clark Griswold there, except Clark eventually has a meltdown. But Clark was always trying to make this Christmas happen. And then they go to the restaurant. That's one of the classic scenes of all, isn't it?
It is, and I'll tell you a little secret about that scene. Melinda Dillon, who plays Mom, did not know what was going to happen with the turkey.
Right.
Bob Clark intentionally did not include anything about that in the dailies for her to learn the lines. So when she is sitting there and you watch this and suddenly the proprietor pulls out that cleaver and kabam, cuts that head off and she goes crazy. That was real. Bob Clark did a lot of that kind of stuff in the film.
John Williams, over Thanksgiving, I saw A Christmas Story on the big screen in Iowa, followed up by a Q&A with Peter Billingsley himself. I didn't know he toured with the movie.
He does some, yes.
John 630 says A Christmas Story still holds up to this day. Well, if you all like that, you'll shoot your eye out. Life lessons from the movie A Christmas Story. Little grayed boxes of anecdotes and trivia or just fun facts about the movie. But chapter by chapter, hold your tongue. Maybe time for one more lesson. Be playful is chapter 13. Give me one more idea from the book.
Yeah, be playful is great. So they're sitting at the table, and Randy, the young kid, does not want to eat his meatloaf and potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And the old man says, I'll take care of him. Give me my plumber's helper and a screwdriver, and I'll jam it down his throat while he's reading the newspaper. See?
Yeah.
But Mom, and moms are always the heroes in Gene's stories. Yeah. Mom says, no, let's have some fun with this.
Yeah.
How do the piggies eat? How do the piggies eat? Yep. Similar thing in the car, coming back from getting the Christmas tree. And the tree is on top of the car. This is before the blowout. And three of the four family members are singing Jingle Bells. At the end of it, they give a nice Bronx cheer, you know. And the old man, through that whole bit, is looking out the window. He's unhappy. He doesn't want to just have the joy. Be playful, old man, Gene would say to me. Be playful.
Quentin, what a great storyteller you are. And I'm glad that you took the time to remind us of all of this. And a handy little 200-page paperback. You'll shoot your eye out.
It's fun.
I guess I can get this everywhere.
I hope.
All right, order it online. Schultz is the last name with an L-T-Z-E at the end, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E, Quentin Schultz. Thanks for coming into our studio.
My pleasure, buddy.
Wow.